protests in Iran are taking place in a media distortion field. They're being framed as existential. The Supreme Leader plans to flee to Moscow. Ethnic rebels are taking over towns. Senior military officials are defecting, and so on. These are some of the claims you'll hear, and they create the impression that the country is just days away from collapse. But most of it is disinformation. Rather than focusing on the protests themselves, this video looks at the structural pressures surrounding them, the constraints that ultimately decide what they can and cannot achieve. The United States is embellishing the events because it needs a pretext to justify regime change in Iran. There's no denying that Iranians have taken to the streets to protest the government and that many have been killed as a result. However, because of Tehran's self-imposed internet and communications blackout, nearly all information coming out is questionable. Iran certainly has its fair share of problems: endemic corruption, pervasive repression, and the constant imposition of religious doctrine on everyday life. Those out on the streets are risking everything for a better future, and their situation deserves genuine empathy. But the protests are neither fully organic nor fully orchestrated. CIA and Mossad operatives are on the ground, flooding the information space with noise. When you look past the distortion for Iran and its people, there are no good options. There is only a race to the bottom. Iranian authorities say 2,000 people have been killed so far. The US-based NGO Human Rights Activists in Iran estimates the number closer to 2,500. By any account, this is the most significant uprising in 2 years. But the odd thing about these events is the media coverage. More than 260 media outlets have covered the protests in Iran. But sorting through that amount of coverage has been a nightmare, because depending on which outlet I'm looking at, I get a completely different version of events. That's exactly why I partnered with Ground News for this episode. They offer the most effective tools to maintain objectivity in reporting. Ground News is an app and a website that pulls in news coverage from local and international news sources and puts it in one place, so I can see how every angle of a story is being told. What's more, they do the vetting for you. I can see which sources stick closest to the facts through their high factuality ratings, and the color-coded layout lets me easily see each source's political bias and ownership. All these tools give me the context on which sources are independently funded or owned by a large media conglomerate. In this article, for example, Ground News quickly shows me that of the 260 articles reporting on it, only 17% are right-leaning, meaning that if you tend to read right-leaning news, you may have missed this story completely. Which is why Ground News even has a dedicated blind spot feed that highlights stories being disproportionately covered on either side of the political aisle to help break through echo chambers. Because we use Ground News extensively in our research, they're offering Caspian Report viewers 40% off the Vantage plan. Just go click the link in the description or go to ground.news/Caspian or scan the QR code up here. It's one of the biggest discounts they've ever offered, and it knocks the price down to just $5 a month. If you want to support the channel and get a clearer understanding of the world, try out Ground News. By Iranian standards, the current protests are nothing new. The government in Tehran has seen intermittent demonstrations for years. That's because the country is plagued by three distinct calamities that coalesce at the same time. First, there is a massive water crisis in the country. Lakes are vanishing, aquifers are drying up, and rivers are turning to sludge. Iran is simply running out of water, which forces its people to migrate elsewhere. We produced a detailed video on this, and it provides substantial context for the current situation. It's definitely worth checking out. The second crisis relates to energy. Years of sanctions and aging infrastructure have left Iran with a growing natural gas deficit. This deficit has been the source of mass demonstrations every winter, We produced a video on this as well, and it's worth reviewing even now. However, this winter, the energy deficit is greater than ever because Israel bombed much of Iran's oil and gas infrastructure during the June 2025 conflict, and Tehran has been unable to repair the damage in time. As a result, prices have spiked across the country. Inflation is high, living costs are agonizing, and the government has not provided meaningful stimulus to remedy the situation. The third crisis is the economy's downward spiral. Trump's maximum pressure campaign signaled the start of this. Trump not only embargoed Iranian oil and put a stranglehold on its economy, but he also ended the 2015 nuclear deal that Obama had negotiated, which provided Tehran with sanctions relief in exchange for limiting its nuclear activities. Since the nuclear deal's collapse and the reimposition of US sanctions, Iran has experienced major protests roughly every 2 years. These include the 2017 to 2018 economic protests, the 2019 to 2020 fuel protests, the 2021 to 2022 water protests, the 2022 to 2023 women's rights protests, and, most recently, the current protests. In short, Iran has been down this road before. However, the current protests are different, and this chart tells the story you need to know. The Iranian rial has plummeted against the US dollar since the Israel-Iran war, losing about 40% of its value in less than 7 months. In late December, things finally snapped. Shopkeepers in Tehran's Grand Bazaar and other commercial districts took to the streets. Within days, the demonstrations spread to other commercial centers nationwide and expanded to include activists, students, truck drivers, and others. The economic frustrations of Iranians had been simmering for years. In fact, President Pezeshkian was elected in 2024 precisely because he promised to negotiate a new nuclear deal with the United States to ease sanctions. However, the talks failed. Both sides adopted maximalist positions, offering little to no compromise. Then, in June 2025, the Israeli and American strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities compounded the diplomatic deadlock. Policymakers in Tehran looked inward, with little hope of sanctions relief and lacking the capacity to address its economic shortcomings. Iranian political factions began pointing fingers at one another. Among other measures, the Minister of Economic Affairs was dismissed, and the central bank governor was later replaced. But this reshuffling has had no impact on the livelihoods of ordinary citizens and merely demonstrates how the political elite in Tehran moves lawmakers in and out of government just to appease a frustrated population, since they have no real way to improve the economy. Iran's economic policy is essentially a menu with nothing worth ordering. Regardless of how many people are in the streets, the government in Tehran has no intention of giving up. They will not go down without a fight, and they're willing to risk civil war if it comes to it. That's because Iran's socio-political state is extremely complicated and will remain so for the foreseeable future. Whether one likes the clergy or not, Tehran has a stable support base. In the last presidential election, over 13 million people voted for the ultra-conservative candidate. This support base underpins the government, the IRGC, and other paramilitary groups. It's essentially what keeps the country running despite all its complications and shortcomings. So even if protesters prevail, the government machinery will not disappear overnight. It's also worth noting that Iran's government is not a monolith. Behind the scenes, there are disagreements over policy making and what steps the state should take. This is important to understand because, contrary to the belief that the protests will cause the government to collapse, it's more likely that the protests will drive political change from within by reinforcing certain political elements while disarming others. Whether that means a dramatic change in policy led by liberal officials such as President Pezeshkian, Ali Larijani, or former President Rouhani remains to be seen. But it could just as easily mean an extreme change in the opposite direction, with IRGC officials taking direct responsibility for the country. At the same time, it should be noted that within Iran, there is no organized political opposition to the government. They've been co-opted by the state. Meanwhile, outside the country, the political opposition is highly conflicted and polarized. Some of the groups include communists, republicans, and monarchists like Pahlavi. Apart from their opposition to the Islamic Republic, they share little in common. In this round of protests, the monarchists have had the upper hand. They've successfully spread disinformation at scale, particularly online, but their on-the-ground influence is limited. Another point to remember is that many Iranians who oppose the government also fear that a collapse would lead to an unpredictable power vacuum, and possibly the disintegration of Iran into many smaller countries based on ethnic fault lines. Thus, even Iranians who oppose the government acknowledge that the current system provides some degree of national unity, even if that unity is coerced. Perhaps the soft underbelly of the government machinery, specifically within its security apparatus, is the army. For context, Iran has a regular military like every other nation, but it also has the IRGC, also known as the Revolutionary Guards. This faction has the numbers and weapons, and frankly, overshadows the regular army. It's doubtful that Iran will see defections within the Revolutionary Guard, primarily because they are financially and politically entrenched in the current political system. For the protests to truly endanger the government, this massive apparatus would first need to fall apart, and the regular army could be a weak spot to watch. Its members are less devout and less committed to the supreme leader, which is also why they've always come second to the IRGC in equipment and armaments. So, if there are any security defectors, they will come from the regular army. The bottom line is that Tehran is facing massive demonstrations, one of the most serious since the 1979 revolution. However, don't expect a rerun of Syria, where Assad was ousted in a matter of days. The Iranian state still has broad pockets of support across the country and can weather the current unrest for weeks to come before crackdowns suppress it. That window, however, also leaves Iran's leadership in the crosshairs of American or Israeli power, visible or otherwise. I've been your host Shirvan from Caspian Report. If you approve of what we do, please leave a comment, hit the like button, and mayhaps share the video. In any case, thank you for your time, and salam.